This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 6, starting with verse 5. Gospel of John, chapter 6. We're in a series of messages on becoming a person of purpose. God has a purpose for your life. He created you for a purpose, and He has appointed you for a purpose. He has a work for you to complete in the world today. What we've been finding out is that God works through people. And the only way for you to have the abundant life that Jesus came to give is for you to be about the business of fulfilling God's purpose for your life. We've talked about the fact that there are many people who have money, position, power, and are yet totally unhappy in their lives. Every few years, you'll hear about some millionaire committing suicide, some movie star, because they're not fulfilled in life. Well, let me tell you, the way to be happy and fulfilled in life is to be doing what God created you to do, and your life will be fulfilled. The bottom line is this. If you're spending your life functioning the way God designed you to function, doing what God calls you to do, and fulfilling His purpose for your life, you will be happy, you will have abundant life, and you will be able to stand before God one day and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But let me tell you something. The devil is going to do everything in his power to talk you out of fulfilling God's purpose for your life. He's going to try to convince you that you can't do what God has called you to do, that you don't have the ability to serve God in a meaningful way. He's going to try to keep you on the sidelines instead of in the game, carrying out your assignment by convincing you that you don't have the ability to do what God has called you to do. Let me just ask this question. How many of you have ever felt inadequate in your life? Inadequate. Amen. All right. Let me tell you something. If you are a Christian and you are trying to serve God, you need to know you are inadequate to do it. Does anybody know that? If you think you are adequate to serve God on your own, you are living a delusion. The way God set this thing up is you are not supposed to be adequate on your own, because God does not want you to serve Him on your own. He wants to do it through you, praise God. Amen. And so if you look at yourself and you say, "I'm inadequate," guess what? That's the way it's supposed to be. But the devil will try to get you to think that your lack of ability will prevent you from serving God the way you should. How many of you know the devil is a liar? Amen. Amen? The devil is a liar. And whenever you start thinking that you just can't do what God has called you to do through His anointed and appointed ministers and leaders in the church, whenever you start thinking that, you need to know it's a lie of the devil designed to keep you on the sidelines and prevent you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Anybody know Philippians chapter 4, verse 13? It says we can do how much? All things through Christ who strengthens us. If Jesus has called you to do a work for Him, if He has assigned you a task for the kingdom of God, guess what? You can do how much? All things through Christ who strengthens you, praise God. Catch this. God is not interested in your ability. God is not interested in your ability. Whatever you can't do, guess what? God already knew you couldn't do it when He's assigned you to that task. No, God is not interested in your ability. You know what God's interested in? Your availability. He's interested in your availability. If you come and present yourself to God and say, "Here I am, use me," guess what? God's already got a task laid out for you to do. So we need to get this straight in our minds. We are not limited in our ability to serve God by whatever skills and abilities we may have or lack. The only thing that can keep us from serving God is when we refuse to make ourselves available to Him, as we talked about last week, to come out of our comfort zone, amen, to do the things that God has called us to do. We're going to go in John chapter 6, starting with verse 5. Let me start reading there, and we're just going to work through that passage and see what God will show us this morning about how to make ourselves available to Him. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Look at verse 6. But this He said to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Catch it. When God calls us and appoints us to do a work for His kingdom, God already knows what He's going to do and how He's going to use us. When I got out of college, I went to work for IBM, electrical engineer. And when I got there, they put me on a project developing an inkjet printer. You know, if you buy a little printer today, it's usually going to be an inkjet printer. And the way an inkjet printer works is you have ink that's in a reservoir under pressure, and they squirt it out through a nozzle and cause it to break off into little drops that fly toward the paper and hit the paper in the right pattern to make it the letters that you want to see on the page. Now, until you've been there, you don't understand how complicated that is. First of all, you got this ink, and you're squirting it out like through a water hose, and you have to vibrate the nozzle in such a way that the ink will break off into little droplets. And then secondly, you have to put an electrical charge on the ink so that you can deflect it up or down, and so you can get it to the right place on the page. Thirdly, the first drop that comes out of the nozzle is going at a certain speed because there's air against it, and the air slows it down. But the second drop is coming behind it. The first drop breaks the air pressure, so the second drop tends to catch up with the first drop. And then the third drop tends to catch up with the second drop. Isn't this getting complicated? And then on top of all of that, if you don't watch out, you'll get mold growing in the ink, which will clog up the nozzle, and none of it will work. Now, here's the point. When I went to IBM, I didn't understand any of that. I knew nothing about the aerodynamics of ink droplets flowing through the air. I knew nothing about the chemistry of ink that will keep mold from growing. I knew nothing about how to figure out all the different ways that the ink drop can go because of the differences in air pressure. I didn't know any of that. And if I had gone to IBM and they said, "We want to put you into an inkjet production program," I would have said, "Look, I don't know that stuff. I can't handle all of that. They didn't teach me all of that." But you know what IBM knew? They already had a plan. "We don't need you to know about ink. We don't need you to know about chemistry. All we need you to do is come and fit into the place that we have for you." What I knew how to do was design electrical circuits. "Just come and do that. We already got somebody else that knows about ink. We already got somebody else that knows about physics. You just come and do what we called you to do." You see, here's the deal. They already knew what they were going to do. They just needed somebody to come forward and say, "Use me." Amen. Use me. And so I came out of school, went to IBM. I didn't ask any questions. "You pay me the salary, I'm here." Hallelujah. Use me the way you want to use me. You know what? That's all God asks of us. God already has a plan. God already has taken into account what your skills and abilities are. And He's also already taken into account the things that you lack and don't know how to do. He already knows all of that. But He's got a plan. And if you'll just come and make yourself available, God will plug you into His plan, and the work of the kingdom will get done. Here's the third thing. Looking again at John chapter 6, look at verse 6. "But this He said to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do." Jesus set up a test for His disciples. And I have to tell you, Philip failed the test. Philip got an F on this test. Look at what Philip said. When Jesus said to Philip, Where are we going to get the food to feed these people? Look in verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. That 200 denarii, that's equivalent to about 8 months' wages in that day and time. And so what was Philip saying? Look, Lord, we just don't have the money to do what we need to do. Philip's answer was not a yes, Lord, you can answer. It was a no, Lord, we can't answer. Philip was saying it's impossible for us to do this. And the point is this. The issue is never whether or not it's impossible for us, because it's never impossible for God. The issue is not what can we do. The issue is what is God doing. And if we line ourselves up with what God is doing, guess what? He will do the work through us. When God calls us and appoints us to serve him, we are in the same position Philip was. We've got a test. And think about some of the ways we answer that question when God calls us. Lord, I'm too old for that. Or Lord, I'm too young for that. Or Lord, I'm not trained for that. I can't handle that. I'm not trained for it. Or Lord, I don't have the money to do that. I don't have the time to do it. Lord, I'm not smart enough. How many of you have ever said this one? Lord, I'm too shy. Lord, I'm shy. I can't do that. One of the things we talk about here all the time is reaching out beyond ourselves to minister the love of Christ to somebody else. Amen. How many of you consider yourselves to be shy? Let me just see. Consider yourself to be shy. All right. Amen. How many of you are too shy to raise your hand? Amen. All right. What I've observed is that most people, more people than not, consider themselves to be shy. But we've talked last time about what? Coming out of your comfort zone. Because who is it that can give you the power, even if you're shy, to walk up to somebody, reach out your hand, and greet them in the name of Jesus? Who can do that? God can do that. Amen? And if we will just make ourselves available, stop talking about, oh Lord, I'm so shy, I can't do that, and start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Next week when you come in here and we have our greeting time and there's people here that you don't know and your heart is going pump, pump, cause, you know, you're getting ready to go up and take somebody's hand, you just be saying it inside of you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, how you doing? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just keep it going, amen? Let the Lord give you the power to do what needs to be done. Because God is not concerned about your ability. What's he concerned about? Your availability. If you will say to him, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to do what you've called me to do. Even if I don't think I can handle it, guess what? He'll give you the power to handle it. All those things that we say about what we can't do may be true, but they are irrelevant because we are not the ones that have to do it. God wants to do it through us. So Philip, when he talked about what he couldn't do rather than what God could do, he got an F on his test. But then there was another disciple, Andrew. Look at verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Now, Philip got an F. Andrew got a C. Have you ever said something and it was good and then you kept on talking and messed it up? That's what Andrew did. Andrew said, look, well, Lord, we do have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And if he just kept his mouth shut, he'd have got an A on the test. Amen. But then he went on, but what are they to feed so many? Catch it. Andrew was on the right track because he was saying, look, I don't see how this can possibly do the job, but Jesus, here it is. I give it to you to see what you can do with it. Oh, remember when Jesus' mother had gone to a wedding and Jesus and his disciples came and there was not enough wine. Remember that story from the Gospel of John? Go over to John chapter 2. Let's look at this. John chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Here's the attitude that'll get you an A if you don't mess it up. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now, think about this. Think about what was going on here. The mother of Jesus, Mary, was at this wedding. Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding, and they ran out of wine. How many of you have ever gone to a wedding as a guest at a wedding? Let me just see. Been a guest at a wedding. What if you were a guest at that wedding and somebody walked up to you and said, "You know, they run out of cake and punch. What are you going to do about it?" What would you say? "I'm not doing anything about it. I'm just a guest here." Think about this. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said, if something is not going the way it should go, if there is something lacking, something that needs to be fixed, I know the one who can fix it. You go get Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus didn't come there to deal with wine. He came there just to be at the wedding. But what his mother knew was that if something needs to be done that we cannot do, the one to turn to is Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at what she said in verse 5 of John chapter 2. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." You see what she was doing? She just put the problem in Jesus' lap. And that's what Andrew had done. He said, "Lord, all we got is these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know what they can do, but I'm bringing that to you. And Lord, you can handle it." You see, Andrew was a bringer. Andrew was a bringer. Go over to John chapter 1. Look at verses 40 through 42. Let me tell you the secret that got Andrew a good grade on his test. John chapter 1, starting with verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Now, here's the point I want you to see. When Andrew was introduced to Jesus, what did he do? He went and found his own brother and brought him to Jesus. Amen? Now, understand, Andrew was not a preacher. Andrew was one of those shy people. Amen? You put Andrew up front and say, "Andrew, speak a word to the people." Andrew would probably be going, "I can't do that. Let me go get my big mouth brother Peter." But what he could do was he could bring somebody. Amen? How many of you feel like you could preach a sermon to somebody? Let me just see. You can preach a sermon. All right. Amen. I'm not getting too many volunteers here. We got about a vacancy next week on the service. How many of you are ready to preach? All right. Now catch it. Andrew didn't have to preach a sermon. All he had to do was bring his brother to Jesus. Amen. And when it came time to look for something to feed the people, all Andrew said was, "Look, Lord, I don't know how I can help, but I'm going to bring this stuff to you." Bottom line, when you bring somebody to Jesus, you are performing ministry. Amen? Amen? When you bring somebody to the place where they can meet Jesus, you are performing ministry. Maybe all of you can't preach a sermon to somebody. Maybe all of you couldn't even lead somebody to Christ at this point in your life. Now, by the way, you stick around here long enough, you'll learn how to lead somebody to Christ. Amen? Amen. But maybe you're not at a point where you can do that yet. But you know what you can do? "Brother, why don't you come to church with me this summer, this morning?" Amen? They're having a Bible study on how to study the Bible at the church. Why don't you come to that? You can be a bringer like Andrew was to bring somebody to the place where they can meet Jesus. And that was Andrew's strength. That was the thing that he was able to do well. And because he brought those loaves and fishes to Jesus, he at least got a C on the test. Let me tell you who got an A. Go back to John chapter 6. Look at verse 9. Philip flunked the test. He got an F. Andrew had enough sense to say, "Well, here, Jesus, this is what we got. What can you do with it?" So he got a C. But let me show you who it was who got an A on the test. John chapter 6, verse 9. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 false small fish. You know who got an A on the test? It was the little boy who gave up his lunch. The little boy who gave up his lunch. Think about it for a moment. Those 5 loaves that it talks about. This is not the kind of loaf where you go to the store and it's a big loaf of bread. These are little flat pieces of bread in that time, more like a cracker than anything else. And the 2 fish they were talking about, these were not, you know, big fish from salmon from the ocean. These were more like sardines. In other words, all this was this little boy's lunch. It was something like a Happy Meal from McDonald's. Amen? Now, suppose somebody came to you and said, son, we need to feed the 5,000 people in this auditorium, and the only food we can find is your Happy Meal. Give us your Happy Meal so we can feed these people. Now, what would you be thinking? Somebody is crazy. Isn't that right? Somebody's got to be crazy. But this young man knew about Jesus. Hallelujah. This young man had seen Jesus do miracles. He had heard Jesus preach about the kingdom of God. He knew that Jesus was there as God's son. Hallelujah. The representative of God. And he said to himself, if Jesus wants it, Jesus can have it. All there was a Happy Meal, but Jesus took it. And when it came into Jesus' hands, Jesus multiplied it. Did this little boy have much? He had hardly anything. But what he had, he was willing to put into the hands of Jesus. How many of you feel like you are well educated, you are intelligent, you are strong, you can do anything that anybody would ask you to do? How many of you feel like that? Don't see any hands. Good. How many of you feel like, well, I don't really have that much? You know, I don't know the Bible that well. I can't speak to anybody. I'm too shy to really say anything about Jesus to anybody. I just don't really have a whole lot. Be honest, how many of you feel that way about yourself sometimes? Amen? You know what you got? You got a Happy Meal. That's what you have in terms of your faith right now. You got a Happy Meal, praise God. But guess what? What you got, Jesus can use. Hallelujah. Jesus is not asking how much ability you have. I have been to seminary. Hallelujah. I got a master's degree. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what that means to God? Zip. Zip. God's not concerned about my education. God's not concerned about what skills I've got. You know what God is concerned about? Am I available to Him? Am I willing to come to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Use me the way you want to use me. You see, God is not calling you because of what you can do for Him. How many of you think you are intelligent? Let me see. Come on. Praise God. You should know that about yourself. Amen. How many of you know there are plenty of people more intelligent than you are? Amen. If God was choosing people on the basis of their intelligence, guess what? You would not be at the head of the line. Isn't that right? How many of you look good? Come on. Can we raise our hands on that? How many of you look good? Come on, let me see. Come on, amen. All right, amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that there are probably some people in this room right now who are better looking than you are? How many of you? So if God was choosing people on the basis of their good looks, guess what? You'd be way down the line. Amen? How many of you are strong? I mean, you know, you pull your sleeve up and your muscles ripple. Amen. You know, if you were to flex, the buttons would pop off your shirt. How many of you are strong? Let me just see. Amen. All right. We got a few strong ones here. Hallelujah. How many of you know? There are plenty of people in the city of Harrisburg that are stronger than you are. Amen. Amen? So if God was choosing people on the basis of their strength, you'd be left out. But let me ask you this. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you are willing to let Jesus do with your life what he wants to do. Let me see. Anybody here? Anybody here? Amen. You know what? That qualifies you for the best God has to give. That qualifies you to go to the head of the line. Because God is not concerned about your ability. He can always find somebody with greater ability. What's he concerned about? Your availability. That little young man with the Happy Meal, he had a choice to make. Am I going to give up what little I have to something that I can't see how it can even help the situation, but just because Jesus said it? Or am I going to hold on to what I got because it's so little, it wouldn't do anybody any good anyway, and I'm just going to keep what I got for myself? See, that was the choice he had. If he was to assess the situation in terms of what he had to give, he didn't have anything that was worth giving. But Jesus wasn't asking for him to have a lot to give. He was just saying, son, what you got, give it to me, and I'll multiply it. You see, the issue is not what you have to give. God can take the little bit you've got and multiply it into something great. You don't have to have a lot of talent to serve the Lord. You don't have to be strong and intelligent and good looking to serve the Lord. But what you have to be is available. And the thing that I've been sharing with you over these weeks is, if you step forward to say, Lord, I want to serve you, use me, God will accept your offer, but he will take you out of your comfort zone. Amen? You see, that's what it means to make yourself available to Jesus. Lord, here I am. Use me the way you want to use me. And if it takes me out of my comfort zone, I know that I can do how much? All things through Christ who strengthens me. What have you got to give Jesus today? What talent, what ability, what gifts do you have to give him today? Set all of that aside. There's only one thing he's asking for. Are you willing to give him yourself? Are you willing to step up to Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. If it takes me out of my comfort zone, that's all right, Lord, because I know you'll be with me. If I have to do something that I've never done before, and something that I don't even think I can do, that's all right, Lord, because I know you'll give me the ability. Here I am. Use me.